I.B. Hurton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Joe. Is that Kieran?
It's Nancy.
Nancy? I meant Nancy. I didn't hear you yesterday. Were you on yesterday?
No, we got to bed very late and I slept through the call.
Yes, a New Year's celebrator. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Hello. Did you have a good goal day, a good planning day, a good meet your goals day, Ruth?
Somewhat, yes.
She still had
family here. But they're her daughter and son-in-law, and so we have this event coming up this Saturday. It's a business. You may have gotten an email about our tour with on a move tour.
Oh, I've got to look at my emails. I'm just priorities, goals. I mean, I have 1,000 unopened emails. Awful. I mean, what do people do? Eventually they just, like, off them all or something?
Mostly you push the control and go, click, delete.
Yeah. Yes. I know, but I'm sure there's something really important in one of them.
Yeah, the same thing they said yesterday.
Right.
Okay. I'm running around here looking for my headset. So, Nancy, are you here?
I am.
I'm good. Well, so good morning, everybody. Here's Nancy. It's her day. But I'm not by my computer at the moment.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We had discussed that I would talk a little about the endocrine system. So I feel the most important thing in the endocrine system is our thyroid. So I'm going to start with that. Also, the adrenal gland. So we'll touch on a little bit of that. At the moment, I've got to get back to the proper screen. I had it earlier. I wonder where it is. Oh, my.
Maybe Nancy deleted one of those that I always go, delete.
Say that again.
Are you doing okay there?
I am, but I'm looking for my notes.
Okay.
I just got through reading them here.
You're looking, I'll talk
yes,
a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, that's why we're here. Help each other.
Oh, here. I've got them.
Okay. Let's see. First of all, we want to welcome everybody with telling you about our mission. It's a mission to teach and support the practice of habitual lifestyle choices. And so that's what Nancy is going to do this morning, as she gives us one little aspect of the endocrine system. So here's Nancy.
All right. This is regarding the thyroid. So I will start with talking a little bit about the function. And hypothyroidism occurs when there is an inadequate secretion of thyroid hormones from the thyroid gland, resulting in a slowing down of the body's metabolism. Low production of these hormones results in hypothyroidism, which is the underactive part of it, and an often overlooked facet of the hypothyroidism occurs when you're thyroid hormones are not properly at the cellular level, again resulting in a decrease in the body's metabolism processes. What are the different types of hypothyroidism? It is type 1 would be the where it occurs when the body does not produce enough thyroid hormones to energize your cells. Type 2 is a lesser known type. It takes place when the body develops a cellular resistance to thyroid hormone, resulting in it not being able to be assimilated into and used by your body's cells. And then, of course, autoimmune thyroiditis, which is called Hashimoto's, which is the name of a doctor who discovered this, is a genetically inherited trait in which your immune system makes antibodies to your own thyroid. Autoimmune thyroiditis is similar to an allergic response in that it occurs when your immune system overreacts, launching an attack on something that normally would be considered harmless. The difference is that in autoimmune thyroiditis, the target is not an ingested or inhaled substance, but your body's own cells. Antibodies bind to your thyroid gland and prevent it from manufacturing thyroid hormones. Antibodies also may bind to the circulating thyroid hormone, making it unavailable to your body's cells. Autoimmune thyroiditis adversely affects the assimilation of thyroid hormone into the cells. The antibodies to the thyroid gland, which occur with autoimmune thyroiditis, are proteins which bind thyroid hormone in the blood, thus decreasing the amount of free available thyroid which can be assimilated into your cells. Like other autoimmune conditions, this can develop when the adrenal glands are stressed, especially following pregnancy or at menopause. Any questions thus far?
So if these things happen, then you're going to tell us how we will know that.
Right.
What?
Okay. Actually, if you have this autoimmune thyroiditis, even though they're giving you what seems to be the proper amount, you will continue to have symptoms of low thyroid.
Okay, Nancy, we should probably check on, can everybody hear Nancy okay? You sound like you have just interrupted.
Yeah, pretty much I can hear her, but every once in a while it's
like bubbling.
Yeah, it's that thing with your phone, Nancy.
Well, it's probably because our landline is now is working off of cellular somehow.
Yeah,
everything's tied in now with Verizon. So
you're making sense. I can hear you now.
Oh,
we can hear you. It's just hard.
If there's a correction.
Don't mumble.
I need to increase my volume, don't I? Well, first of all, let me switch this up on the phone, make sure that's right.
Yes, we can't tell what you're saying. I can, anyway.
Okay. Now, the causes of hypothyroidism, they may not always be clear in every case, but there are many environmental as well as genetic factors that can attribute to the hypothyroidism. As we age, our hormones gradually decline. This includes thyroid, elevating our need for hypothyroidism treatment. One cause of inadequate thyroid hormone production is an iodine deficiency. Each thyroid hormone molecule contains 3 or 4 atoms of iodine. If your diet contains insufficient iodine, the thyroid gland will be unable to synthesize adequate amounts of thyroid hormone. Iodine deficiency hypothyroidism is characterized by an enlarged thyroid gland or goiter. Chlorine and fluoride in our tap water, bromides in our bread, and fluoride in our toothpaste all displace iodine, which can lead to poor thyroid function. Another cause of hypothyroidism can be the destruction of the thyroid gland by either radioactive iodine or surgery. Frequent exposure to general radiation in the form of X-rays to the chest, neck, and head can put your thyroid gland at potential risk and increase the potential need for hypothyroid treatment. Environmental factors such as petroleum chemicals in the air, such as fuel exhaust, plastics, hormones in meat, and pesticides, can affect not only our thyroid, but also all of our hormones by causing estrogen dominance. These xenoestrogens can block the production of your thyroid hormones. Prescription medication can affect the functioning of your thyroid gland as well. Genetics can also play a role in causing hypothyroidism. Yeast overgrowth can contribute to an underactive thyroid gland because of the toxins it releases into the bloodstream. Mercury amalgams are toxic in the thyroid gland as well because of the mercury that is released into the bloodstream. All right. Any comments thus far?
Well, as someone that has experience with diabetes, that type 2 that has a cellular resistance to hormones, I'm thinking, of course, you know, insulin is a hormone, and we have, you know, resistance to uptake of insulin of insulin and sugar, or insulin, I think, uptake of insulin. So I'm just wondering, you know, if there's a relationship there. I mean, it went through my head.
With the insulin, you mean? I'm not sure about the insulin.
Well, insulin is a hormone, and thyroid function, thyroids make that hormone. Your thyroid makes that hormone. And type 2 is a cellular resistance to the hormones produced by the thyroid. Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that the thyroid gland produces insulin?
Yes, insulin is a hormone. Insulin is a hormone.
But isn't it produced by the pancreas?
I may be wrong, but I didn't think it was the thyroid that produces the insulin. I thought it was the
You could be. I'll just check that because when I added iodine, my sugar levels dropped a little bit. You know, became more stable and dropped a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was specifically treating the thyroid, you know, by taking that, you know.
But that would probably be because of the resistance at the cell level then.
Right. And, of course, metformin is the medication that type 2 diabetics take because of cellular resistance.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that whole endocrine system works.
They all work together. And several organs produce insulin, not just the pancreas, not just the beta cells, you know, several do.
Okay. So now we've got two main types of thyroid hormones. It's the T4 and the T3. The T3 is the most active of the two, and this is why the method of hypothyroidism treatment is incredibly important and why we recommend that desiccated thyroid preparations, which they contain both the inactive and the active. And this is primarily like from pork thyroid. I think years ago they used to use from sheep. I believe in the early 1900s. And I tried to look up his name. I couldn't find it. I've got it written down somewhere, but there was a doctor who first started treating myxedema by using sheep thyroid, and his patients got so much better. So that's how this all got started.
Oh, Nancy, would you say started treating what?
With sheep thyroid, the thyroid gland from sheep.
And it treated what?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You said he started using the sheep thyroid to treat something. What was that?
Our own thyroid when we're low.
Okay.
Now, I'm talking way back in the early, I'm not sure what year it was. I tried to Google it because I couldn't find my notes, but I know there, you know, there is the doctor who got all this started.
Yeah, Nancy, you used a vocabulary word, and you said he started treating, and it was a vocabulary word she didn't recognize, neither did I. She started treating.
Was it eczema?
Now I'm not hearing your words. Repeat that last word.
There was a word, and then I thought I heard eczema. But I don't know if that's what you said. He started using that to treat some condition. What was the condition?
Oh, the hypothyroidism.
That's not what you said.
Oh.
You used a specific disorder. Like maybe what they called diabetes back then. Or hypothyroidism back then.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Myxedema.
Myxedema.
Ruth, let's see. I'm on a different screen. Let me see if you've got pictures. Do you have some pictures of the swollen faces? Have you already put that up? There, this is myxedema, where you have fluid buildup, because with low thyroid, it causes our tissues to swell. So,
that word start with an M, or as in mother, or an N?
It is an M, M-Y-X-E-D-E-M-A, myxedema.
Okay.
And, but he noticed that when he used that thyroid from the sheep, the patient's condition improved dramatically.
This is totally fascinating. I'm so thrilled you would do this.
Okay. Well, let's see. So, all right, now, how should we treat this diagnosis? It should be made up of primarily on the basis of your clinical history and basal body temperature. And I find that this is where so many doctors do not pay any attention to the clinical history. They want to treat people by a lab slip. And rather than asking the patient, you know, how do you feel, or get more of these clinical symptoms brought out. The single most important tool in determining your thyroid status and hypothyroidism is a thorough review of your symptoms and a physical exam. Once the diagnosis of low thyroid has been established, hypothyroidism can begin with a therapeutic trial of this desiccated thyroid. And desiccated just means that it's from the, it's a dried product of the thyroid gland. Of course, now they strictly use pork.
They use what?
Pork thyroid.
Okay.
And that's how the Armour thyroid got its name, because it comes from the Armour Packing Company. Most of you probably already know this. But, when they slaughter the pigs, that's what they do, is make this into a thyroid product. And now we're going to talk about the TSH, the blood test. And blood tests are usually the first action taken by a physician to determine hypothyroidism treatment. You know, we're getting a little into more of another aspect of it. Ruth, do you want to leave things open since we're trying to get through by 7:30?
Yes, we want to see if they have a discussion and cover just some aspects. One thing, I think it would be good, we've got this on the screen, this lady who shows all of the, you know, you're talking about the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have this lady on the screen, and you know, I think several of us take thyroid. as I saw this, good grief, there's hardly any of these I didn't have.
Mm-hmm. And when they talk about the loss of the eyebrow, it's the latter third of the eyebrow. If that's thinning, that is a clear indication of the thyroid being low. And they don't have it listed here, but the tongue is also another sign. If our tongue is a little enlarged, it will leave imprints of the teeth around the edge of the tongue. So we can just look in a mirror and check that. But the puffy face and especially the slow heartbeat. But yet, I've had doctors tell me there's no problem with my low heartbeat. They said that's like a runner. Well, I'm not really a runner. I'm a walker, but mine has been low for many years, down in the, 68 and so forth. But then you notice where they have the weight gain around the stomach area. So once people are placed on the normal, an adequate amount of thyroid, they begin shedding weight through the midsection. And the little nails, that also, I don't know if you were able to pull up that. Yes, you see the ridges in the fingernails, the vertical ridges. They also had a picture of, which I did not put on, but there are horizontal ridges that can be in a fingernail, and all of this is indicating things. And the bulging of the eyes, now if they can catch it in time, usually the eyes are not affected, but if someone goes with low thyroid for, I don't know how many years you have to have it, but this can happen where the eyes protrude. And when I first started, way back in the mid-70s, my doctor would measure my eyes on each visit. I've never had a doctor do that since, but he was a very good one back then. But that was before I drank the radioactive iodine, because I did have hyperthyroidism.
Why did you happen to drink radioactive?
I had a choice of either surgery or radioactive iodine. The radioactive, that kills the gland, destroys the gland. And so you can either have the surgery done, but there, you've got a scar left. I just followed whatever that, I knew nothing about it back then. I just let my doctor make that decision, and he worked at Methodist Hospital in the radioisotope department, so that's what he suggested. But one dose of it was not enough, so he gave me two doses to actually destroy my gland. But then it destroyed it too much, so I've had to stay on thyroid all these years.
Good grief, huh? So, Nancy, would you like to go over these symptoms? So, because we have more than half of our people are usually on the phone and not on the screen.
Oh, okay, sure. Well, first, we'll start at the top with depression. You'll have low energy and depression, and your moods will be down, and most people experience brain fog, as they term it, where they just don't feel like they're functioning normally, that their brain is not clear and everything being distinct. Like forgetfulness. And then you've got the loss of the eyebrow hair. And, of course, they didn't put this on there, but, of course, the thinning of the hair, that goes along with it. And, oh, there, they do have that. The dry, coarse hair, but they don't say thinning. And your face will become puffy and around the eyes and so forth. The enlarged thyroid, the goiter on the neck. And that's how mine was picked up. They noticed that I had a goiter there at my neck. And the slow heartbeat, the weight gain around the midsection mainly, and then the constipation and the heavy menstrual period and infertility. And that's where women who have not been able to conceive, once they get their thyroid all leveled out, a lot of times they'll be able to conceive, and it's really amazing. And this also works for men's sperm count. Once they're placed on thyroid, that increases that. Okay, and the dry skin and the arthritis, our joints, because of the swelling, we will feel like we've got the aching joints, and then the brittle nails.
Go ahead.
Any other comments?
Any experiences anyone has with help with some thyroid or non-help?
Oh, this is Kathleen, and I've been I've been to many, many doctors and naturopathic doctors who have tried to balance the T3 and T4, and now my naturopathic doctor says there is now a sustained release formula that could be compounded for you. So do you lose energy in the afternoon? I said, oh yes. And she said, would you like to try that? So I'm trying that right now. It's kind of new. And it's formulated. I continue to take thyroid medicine. Let me just look at the bottle, because she said it works better with one than it does the other. And I've been on Armour and desiccated, and we switch back and forth. Let's see, just a second. The one I'm taking mainly now is Level Thyroxine, 75 mesograms. And then she puts this, it's T3/T4SR, anyway, it's, You take both of them, and it's supposed to help sustain it through the day.
Mm-hmm. That's a rather low dosage of levothyroxine, but that is a synthetic, so you're only getting the T4 there, and the body is now having to do its own conversion, whereas with the desiccated, the Armour, that already has the T3 in it. It's both T3 and T4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not dependent on your body to make that conversion. So that's the main difference, and that's why most people do better on a desiccated, where it's already got that in there. Because if our blood work looks normal to the doctor, and he says there's nothing wrong with your thyroid, then he's looking only at what's in the bloodstream. But if it's bound to protein in the bloodstream and not being able to get out to reach the cells, then you still have the low thyroid symptoms. And that's where so many doctors do not, I don't know if they've just lost their, you know, or maybe that's the way they teach it now in medical school, but the old doctors knew to ask about clinical symptoms, how the person felt, and they would check body temperature. But each morning before you get out of bed, have the thermometer there and put it under your arm, and if it's anywhere below 98, that is a clear sign that you're low thyroid. So that's
okay.
One way that we can test just at home before we ever see a doctor, and then look at, you know, pick out these symptoms, and we can kind of diagnose ourselves. But then finding a doctor who is willing to give enough or to even go the route of desiccated, that's where the problem lies. So that's why a lot of people are walking around with low thyroid, being told that you're in the normal range, but each normal range is set up by each individual lab. They take all the lab results from that particular lab, and that's how they come up with their normal range. Or when we think about it, the people who are going to the lab for blood to be drawn, they are already low thyroid. That's why they're having it checked. So we're being told that this is the normal range, and the range is so wide, excuse me, that almost everybody, like 95% of the people, fall within that range and are being told that their thyroid levels are normal.
What a question. How do I find a doctor that will please look into this with me? How do I find one? What do I say? You know, hi, I'm a new patient. Are you against looking at thyroids? I mean, what do I say to them? What type of doctor?
Through the years.
Joan, the Wright Clinic, the Tahoma Clinic.
Okay.
Dr. Wright, Dr. Lamson is there, and he is definitely after these symptoms. I just haven't been a very good patient and get back there when it's not sufficient.
Okay, L-A-N-S-O-N?
L-A-M.
S-O-N?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will do that. My morning temperature can be 95.
Oh, you're low thyroid. mine has been, around 96 and in that range, but I've known of people who have had it in the 95 range. But here's the way I check for a new doctor who knows enough about the proper way to treat thyroid. I will first ask the girl who answers the phone, does your doctor give Armour thyroid? If she says yes, then my next question will be, do they only look at, or do they primarily look at the TSH score? And do they run a free T3 test?
A free what?
A free, let me go back. A
free T3.
No, well, both. Free
yes.
T4 and T3, but mainly that free T4, because that will indicate to them how much of the thyroid is leaving the blood and reaching the cells to be converted to that T3. If it does not reach the cells, it's of no value to us. It's flowing in the blood, and our blood work looks normal to the doctor, but we don't feel normal.
So if you have too much free T4, it's not getting into the cells to be converted to T3. Is that correct?
No, that particular test, when you ask for a free T4, they can run the T4, but then ask them to run a free if they insist on running just a T4, they can do that. But that free T4 shows how much of the actual thyroid is being freed up from the bloodstream to reach the cells.
Okay.
To convert it to T3.
Dr. Lamson in the Tahoma Clinic in our area, Joan, does all this, and he just he is much more into the symptoms than into the tests.
Okay.
I have a quick question. It's Mary Lou. Nancy, I was looking at my lab thing from my doctor, and my thyroid panel, he says thyroxine, and it says in parentheses T4. Then he says, it says T3 uptake, and then it says free thyroxine index. Is that the correct test?
No, it should not have that word index on it. It should just say free T3 rather than a free T3 index.
Okay, then what about the T3 uptake?
Well, there again, that uptake, I think that's the standard test that they've always run. So it literally has to say free T3.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, our time is up today, and so next Thursday we can, if there are
more
questions, we can continue on, because that's how we're going to be doing the calls now, is Nancy is going to be talking about the endocrine system,
And so we will discuss more next Thursday. Write down your questions as you're thinking about the possibility that your thyroid might be low or something. Write down the questions and see if we can find the answers. And not that we're medical, not that we're recommending, but just like we're talking about this morning, you can go in and see your special doctor that would be up on these things. A naturopath, which is Dr. Lamson, is a naturopath.
Okay. Great.
What a gift today. I am just crawling, and I seem to have all the symptoms, and I'm always treated for this. This is Kathleen. I was just wondering why I'm just crawling around, so I might call my doctor today. Thank you very much. I so appreciate this call.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, everyone. You're welcome.
Good information. Have a great day, everyone.
Okay.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Nancy.
Uh-huh. To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information. Mm-hmm.